This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
It's Chris-a-mania, brother.
That's a great question. Look at you, man, with the powerful questions.
Woo!
This is the Chris Van Vliet Show.
Chris Van Vliet Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van Vliet!
Okay, welcome to, or welcome back to another audio adventure on the Chris Van Vliet Show. This episode is brought to you by Indeed and Bet Online. And did you see Thunder Rosa versus Sheeta at All Out?
Oh, man.
What a match. What a match. And also so cool to see Thunder Rosa, who's under contract with NWA and is the current NWA Women's Champion, making a few appearances in AEW. And so it seems like it couldn't be a better time to have her on the show. And she's also one of the most requested guests we've had over the last six-ish months or so. So I'm happy you're here. I'm happy she's here. And we're going to learn a lot about her. We get a lot of insight, not just into who she is as a person and a wrestler, but what really makes her tick. So snap a screenshot. Let us know that you're listening. Tag me. I am at Chris Van Vliet. Tag her. She is at Thunderosa22. And while you're doing stuff on your phone, just maybe take a second to make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast so you don't miss out on any other episodes. And if you're feeling extra generous, maybe you could leave a review, or even just at the very minimum, maybe just leave a rating on Apple Podcasts. Literally just click those 5 stars. Boom. Just like that. Like this one from the username got cut off, but it's 5 star more like. It's titled CVV Podcast. For any wrestling fan, CVV has some of the best and most realistic conversations with wrestlers. There's nothing more relaxing for a wrestling fan like me to spend my night listening to this podcast before heading to bed. It's a laid-back interview where all the wrestlers seem comfortable and the questions are always straightforward. I appreciate all the work on the podcast and YouTube. Keep it up. Well, thank you for the review. Although listening before bed, does that mean my podcast make you sleepy? These conversations make you sleepy? Or maybe they inspire you to like literally have dreams. That's what you'll be inspired after hearing these stories. Thank you to everyone who's left reviews, just like this one here. We're trying to get to that goal of 2,000 reviews. We're close-ish. We're at 1,172, I think, at last check. So, you know, just another 828 to go. And I'm going to keep reading one out on every single episode till we get to 2,000. Now, I can't tell you how much I enjoyed this conversation with Thunder Rosa. It even got emotional at one point where she was holding back tears. Crazy. She was tearing it up in Lucha Underground as Cobra Moon. Then we saw her in Ring of Honor. And now she is the current NWA champion with a few appearances in AEW thrown in. And she's only 6 years into her wrestling career and just absolutely crushing it. So the future is very, very, very bright for her. And her story is just amazing. So let's dive right into it. It's Thunder Rosa. Well, what a week you've had, right?
Yes. Yes. Actually, it's been three weeks since I was the first time I went to AEW. But yeah, this week was like the work week, the gold time.
Yeah, yeah. It was Dynamite followed by All Out. I mean, you've just been go, 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 go. So thank you for sharing a little bit of your time with us.
Yes, no problem. I mean, come on, man. You are like super famous. You know, I have to get the rub.
Well, thank you. I'm getting the rub by having you on the show.
Come on.
When I tweeted out that, you know, you were going to be on the show, I was just inundated with my phone was just blowing up. I had to turn off the notifications.
Good. I turned off the notifications about 3 weeks ago.
I bet.
On Twitter.
So, I mean, we saw you in AEW. I think a lot of people didn't think this was possible. You're the current NWA Women's Champion.
Indeed.
How did this happen?
So I was contacted by Christopher Danielson. I'll say July 12th. He was like, "Hey, we're interested in having you over. What's the deal?" And I was just like, "Oh, I can't really do it," you know. So I called the management and NWA, let them know what's happening. They pretty much told me that I'm under an exclusive contract with NWA. Sure, everything has to go through them. Then he contacted me again, and I was like, "Who do I need to talk to make this happen?" I was like, "You got to talk to Billy, man." I just throw my hands up in the air and didn't tell my husband because my husband was heated. He was like, "Come on, man, you need to be there. Do you know doing anything? What's going on?" And I was like, "Dude, relax. You know, if it's in my destiny, it's going to happen." Then like not even like a couple of days after, Billy calls me and he's like, "Hey, you're going to be an AEW. This is the spiel." And I literally had like 3 days to get all my stuff together. And I was trying to take a mini vacation with my husband when he called me. And I'm in Corpus Christi, like, what am I supposed to do? I have no clothes. I have nothing. Like, what am I going to pull this out? So it just happened like that. We call my friend. We got clothes. We got everything together. Boom, 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 boom. Then another thing, they're like, "You're going to be wrestling." I have no new gear. So I had to like, I'm going to give a shout out to Maureen, Tracy, for making this happen. And High Spots, they made my gear in 1 week. So What you guys saw in Dynamite and the other show, they made it, and they made it happen. So the NWA family made it happen. You know, they talked to Tony Khan. Then, you know, they gave me the whole run of things. And the rest, you know, it was me.
Well, so you did end up taking a vacation. Your vacation just happened to be in Jacksonville, Florida.
Pretty much. Yeah, technically. Yes.
So I love that you think you needed new gear. Like, the gear you had was great. Why did you need new gear?
First of all, you are wrestling in a international arena. There's thousands and thousands and millions of people and they never seen who Thunder Rosa is. They don't even know that I existed. So if I'm going to come to a new house, it's like a new, you know, job interview. You got to come with your best clothes, you know, and you got to put your best effort to like make the first impression. Because sometimes the first impression is everything. Yeah. If you mess up on the first time, it's either they take you off TV and they make you work harder. Or, you know, on the other hand, like what happened with me is like they want more and they want more. So I wanted that. Like I cut a promo talking a lot of smack about the AEW women's division. I was very outspoken in other interviews prior to me being called into working with AEW on the fact that they don't get enough time. However, when you're being put in a position in where you have time to perform, you better perform. Because if you don't, again, you're just stating exactly what everybody else is saying. Why are you giving them time if you can't perform, if they can't do what they're supposed to be doing? So there was a lot of pressure. So I was like, okay, I'm hyping myself up. I'm telling everybody to hype me up, but I have to live up the hype. If you don't, it's going to flop and like, you know, people are brutal on social media.
Yeah.
Brutal. You know, it doesn't faze me. In the last 6 years, my husband and I, we worked really outstandingly on trying to keep our fans number one and really like working on my craft inside and outside of the ring. So I knew regardless it was going to be good. And but that's the reason why I got new gear. I got all sidetracked.
So do you think you got this spot because of how much smack you talked about the AEW women's division?
No, I think it's because my, you know, Sheeta opened the, she was saying that she can fight anybody, right? And We weren't doing nothing. And I was just like, I'm just going to say something on Twitter. So people, I'm ready. Who's with me or something like that. Sheeta, I'm ready. And we got bombarded and then more and more and more. And I think they saw something like that. And I think they might have like already had me in their radar and be like, we should bring her over just to like do something. But because of my situation with my contract, I don't think anybody thought it was going to be possible. Even me, I didn't even think it was going to be possible.
Well,
but it has to do with us, you know, being outspoken and the fact that I'm running an all-female women's show in the Indies that is run by females. It has to do a lot with it. I mean, I'm very big advocate on women's equality and women's rights in the wrestling business because I see that there's still so much work to do. And I tell them and I tell everybody, until we don't have women in power, being bookers, promoters, owners, things are going to be the same for us.
Yeah.
So
Well, look, it's a win-win situation for NWA and for AEW to have you there. Puts NWA on a platform. It brings in great talent for you to go up against other people in AEW. Everybody wins.
Yes, and I think that's what happened this week, and we're very, very happy with the result.
So if you were fighting for that championship, does that mean that AEW wrestlers are now able to fight for the NWA Women's Championship?
It's 2020, man. Anything is possible at this point. I don't know. That's how I feel it now. It's just like after this, anything is possible. And I hope so, because it will be so enriched. It will enrich their division and enrich our division, because I feel like the women that we have in our division have a very different style than the women that they have in AEW. And you saw that.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, you say it's 2020, right? Anything can happen. This would not have happened if this was not a worldwide pandemic. You guys would be doing Power every week. They'd be doing Dynamite every week. And you guys would be in kind of, you know, just riding in your own lanes.
Yes. And for me, the pandemic honestly was a blessing in disguise, because it made me change my mentality on everything. And it made me like push myself to the next level, you know? And as you can see in the last couple months, it's like my stock name has gone up, and it hasn't been because, you know, I just run away and stay in my room and gain a lot of weight because I was depressed about the pandemic. It was because I work even harder to start my own promotion, to start other businesses, to like make myself relevant when there's nothing going on, when I'm not even wrestling in a national TV show, you know? So there you go. Anything can happen. You can make anything happen at any time, at any moment.
Now, I don't want you to speak on his behalf, but does this mean that, you know, if you're defending or competing for championships on AEW, does this mean we could see Nick Aldis doing something similar?
I would like to know that answer, but I don't know the answer, you know? We will see. Only time will tell.
I think your dog wants to say something there.
He's always in all my podcasts, so I'm surprised he didn't start barking earlier.
Your dog's a big Nick Aldis fan.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
What's your dog's name?
Drago.
Drago.
Yes. Not because of, what is that show? Show I'm talking about, right?
Yes, of course I know what you're talking about. Why can't, oh my gosh, people are going to kill us.
No, he's just being a jerk. No, he was, when I left Lucha Underground, I really wanted to feel like I was still a queen and I have to drag somebody. And I used to drag Drago. So I was like, oh, I might as well just name him Drago. So
it was Jason Momoa's character, wasn't it?
No, that's Drago from the other show. I'm talking about Lucha Underground, Drago the wrestler.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
We're really mixing the world here. Yes. I love that you mentioned Lucha Underground, because that's obviously what really put you on the map. That's where a lot of people first figured out what you were all about. How much did Lucha Underground help determine who you were, and then, you know, growing into who Thunder Rosa was?
It helped me tremendously on pushing me to my limit, to pushing me to a stage, and where at the point when I was signed, I wasn't ready because I was very, very young in the business. And it made me learn from the best of the best, you know, Ricochet, Rey Mysterio, the Guerreros, all the producers that were at a Hollywood caliber, the ladies that were there, Taya, Eva Lees, cheerleader Melissa, Sexy Star. I mean, we were very few of us, even very few women, and we were wrestling men. So it make you push it to the next level, you know, because you have to perform with these guys that have been wrestling for years and years and years. And you're like, oh my God, like I really have to make sure it goes well. Because I do remember that it was very seldom when the guys or the girls made mistakes in the ring. Yeah. So it really like, it made you think about when you go there, you have to go 100% and make sure you perform at your best, because we knew how expensive it was to have edit like in the editing room, and how long would it take, because not only they're doing a lot of editing no matter what, but it was like that part and making it like the cuts and stuff like to tell a good story. So it really helped me develop like that need and the urgency to get better quicker.
That's a huge break for you to get very, very early in your career.
Yes.
So how did it come about?
I was doing a show in Los Angeles for Stardom USA, and the writers were there scouting women, and they saw me and they scouted me. They Christy Joseph came and talked to me that show and be like, hey, we're interested in bringing women to Lucha Underground, you know about the show? I was like, yeah, absolutely. I know about the show. We're going to be watching you and we'll talk later. And I was like, okay, cool. Then like 2 weeks later, he calls me and I'm sitting on the steps. I was in Oakland at that time. And he calls me, hey, you know what? We want to offer you a contract. I'm like, what? Wow. Contract? And I was like, yeah, we'd like for you to be Cobra Moon. And I'm like, okay. And then he's like, but you have to wear a hood. And I'm like, at this point, when you're young, you just want an opportunity. Right? I'll do it. Whatever. So they told me everything. I didn't read the contract, of course, and I signed it. I didn't read the whole contract. I sent it to my friends, like, oh yeah, it's pretty standard. But I didn't know that I was gonna get stuck for like 5 years, you know, and it was just gonna be a shit show. So, but whatever. That's me. In a nutshell.
Well, and then you guys were stuck, even though they weren't still making shows, which was extra weird.
It was awful. That party was awful. But the first, they said season one, season two, season three were great. Season four, like they cut the budget. We did it really quick. Like we did it in a building that was like condemned. Like everybody was getting sick. I got strep throat when I was there in the last show. I was not able to perform for like two shows because I was so sick and I could get people sick. The season four was kind of like the demise of Lucha Underground, and we knew that we were not coming back. And then when we didn't come back, it was just kind of like sitting waiting or paying like $5,000 to get out of the contract. And I was just like, I'll just sit and wait and see what happens. And thankfully, one of the guys rallied the troops and like, you guys want to get out of our contract? We can get out for free. And I'm like, sure. Where do I sign? And that's what we did. And like four of us got out of it.
So did you miss out on opportunities because you were locked down?
You know what? Not really. No. Like at that point I was just like grinding the whole entire time. WWE wasn't calling me. I was able to work for ROH, which really like there were certain people that were very like strict on not letting them work. But with me, like they didn't really like call me. Hey, you can't do this. Hey, you can't do that. I was doing my thing. I didn't care. But no, not really. Like, at that point, like nobody was like knocking on my door. And that's when I realized, I was like, you know what? If ain't nobody knocking on my door, I'm just going to make a name for myself and not need like a Lucha Underground, like tag, like right on my name. It's going to be Thunder Rosa did it because she worked so hard. And like people were like, hey, she's good. Like we should bring her to our company, you know? And when I worked in ROH, that's when I made David LaGana. And then he's the one who's like, I've been looking at your stuff. I've been looking at your social media. I've been looking at your wrestling. I think you'll be a great asset for NWA, but just give me some time because we're working on some stuff. And when I hear that, I'm just like, yeah, right, whatever.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And look what it turned into.
Yes. And then, you know, and then at the same time, I was doing my first MMA match. So they were like, we had this idea, but I think it's going to suit you great because we want you to be our hammer of, you know, the little stable with Melina and Marty. And I was like, I got you. Because I love doing that. I used to do that when I first started in Japan. Everybody thought I had a lot of experience, but it was because I was so aggressive. And I acted like I knew what I was doing, you know, but I didn't.
Well, it's also because you're a little bit older. You debuted a little bit older than most people. You know, a lot of people will debut at 18, 19, early 20s. So for people who didn't watch Lucha Underground, Thunder Rosa's kind of come out of nowhere. So what were you doing? You debuted at 28, right? 28?
Yes, 28.
What were you doing up until that point?
Before I was a wrestler or?
Yeah.
So I used to work when I started training, I used to work at a rehab facility for teenagers called Thunder Road. I was there for two and a half years. And then it just got a little crazy because my wrestling schedule was getting, you know, I was getting more busy and like training was crazy and I needed something more flexible. So I went to another place called Youth Home. So I used to work at home with clients that were kids and then like older adults. Like between the 18 and 25 that had
like as a social worker.
Yeah. They have like severe mental health problems. They just got out of like they're being 5150, like from the psych ward. And I have to like help them get back into society, help them. They teach them like life skills, get them jobs, get them out of the streets. If they were in drugs, I have to take them to like all kinds of stuff, like icing, all kinds of stuff. So it was really flexible for me. This is when I started working Lucha Underground. So I'll leave like Friday, come back on Monday. And I remember being in the meetings with my glasses, extremely tired, probably hangover. I don't even remember. And I was like, man, I got you. And then after that, I go straight to sleep and then grind for the next 4 days, making sure I saw all my clients. And I remember when I decided, because Lucha Underground started getting busier and the money started getting really good, in season three, I decided to like just do wrestling. And I told my, he doesn't like that. He doesn't like that. And then I told my husband told me, just do wrestling. I'll take care of the insurance and everything else you need. Just focus on wrestling. And you're going to train every single day for wrestling. So I told my clients that I was pursuing my dream to become a wrestler. And they were all like super happy for me because that's the only thing I talked to them about, just wrestling.
Yeah. Wow. So did you go to school for psychology?
I was, I graduated from UC Berkeley in 2010 with a bachelor's in social work. No, sociology.
Sociology.
Yeah. And okay. I was going to go and get my master's, but wrestling came into the plate. And I was like, hey, school's going to be there. Wrestling is not. Let's do this now.
Yeah. So yeah. Your name, it's a tribute to the place you were working?
Yes.
Oh, yes. This is great.
Yes.
So how did you, I mean, you were doing a completely different character in Lucha Underground. So how did you come up with Thunder Rosa?
Thunder Rosa came out after we came from a show, and this is before we started wrestling. Donovan Troy was one of the guys that got me into wrestling, indie wrestling. I used to work with him in Thunder Road, and him, my husband and I were in the car and we're like, okay, listen, we got to come up with a name that appeals to Americans, but it also appeals to your Latino population. And I'm like, and then we were going around and around and we're like, how about Thunder Rosa? I mean, Thunder as the job. And then we keep the art Rosa because it's, you know, Latino. I was like, yeah. And then we started doing the whole chanting because it's very important that it makes sense. Thunder Rosa. So it's like, you know, got the little name like that. So it just started like that. But then the backstory of like, you know, the actual character and like why I paint my face and everything came from, I said, everything just like, it's together. So I went to Merced for Lucha Extreme. They wanted to bring more Latino fans in there, but they didn't have no luck. So like, oh, you're Latina. Well, let's paint your face because it seems like that Day of the Dead is really popular right now. And then they painted my face. They really like it. And then Manny Fernandez was like, you're too pretty. Just let's paint your half of your face. So I just painted half of my face there. But I didn't do that anywhere else because I didn't want to be like the luchadora, the Mexican wrestler. I want to be a wrestler. I want to be recognized as a wrestler. And I was like, man, I don't want to do that anywhere else. I went to Japan. This didn't work at all. Then I got a concussion. I swear to God, I felt like I was going to die. I was out of work for a whole month. And then my husband was like, when you come back, you got to paint your face again because you got to do something different to get over. And I think the face paint is going to make a difference. And knowing you and then tell the story later is going to make sense. So I did the half face paint and everybody loved it. They were like, oh my God, it's actually really cool. And then I told the story, like it's, you know, being almost dead and coming alive. And it's just like representation of that. And then when I got signed for Lucha, when Lucha saw me, my uncle came to see me at that show. My uncle like used to watch wrestling. And then he asked me, hey, the exact same question. And I just give them the standard, you know, answer. And he told me that the reason why it all ties together, the reason why I now paint my face is because when he was young, he loved wrestling. He used to go with my grandfather every week in Mexico, in Tijuana. My grandfather died of a heart attack watching Lucha Libre. Wow. And he was on his lap. So he told me, I hated wrestling for so long and you brought me back to watch wrestling. So the reason is it was in your destiny. It was in your future, you know, that you were going to become a professional wrestler because it was in your blood, you know, and now you're representing what the real Day of the Dead is, which is, you know, representing those that have passed away in a better way. And every time you get on that ring, you're fighting for them. Yeah. So that's pretty much what Thunder Rosa encompasses.
Wow. That is such a good story. Wow. I happened to be in Mexico City a few years ago during Day of the Dead. And I think that a lot of Americans think it's like some version of Halloween, and no, it's not at all. It's celebrating the people in your life who have passed on, and you're celebrating them. But I think that a lot of Americans or Canadians like me will see the face paint and go, oh, it's this day to like dress up and have fun. But that's not it at all.
No, it's not. It's not. I mean, if you're like, oh, you're like Coco, like pay attention to the movie Coco. It actually makes sense. It's like this kid is trying to connect with his, you know, ancestors, and he goes to the other world to find the truth, you know, and that's what happened to me. Like my ancestors were trying to connect with me for me to live my future. And that because he wanted to be a musician, and it's like me, I wanted to be a wrestler. I always wanted to be an athlete, but I was never able to because of X, Y, and Z. And I had to go through those, you know, through almost dying in Japan and like going through like very some experiences at work with the clients that I work and see them like succeed. And then later on, you know, they died because police brutality, or they committed suicide. And it was, again, it's like me, I'm like a beacon of hope for them. I was a beacon of hope of them when they were alive. So it just all gets together in what I do now.
So if you always wanted to be a wrestler.
No.
What?
No, not at all. Not
even why did you end up waiting so long?
Because you know, when I was really young, like we didn't have much. Like I always wanted to do sports. I wanted to do soccer, but my parents didn't have money. I'm like the middle girl of four girls. And
growing up in Tijuana.
In Tijuana, yes. Like we didn't have a lot. So it was like I had to focus. It was either I make money to help my parents pay for food and rent, or I make money to help my parents to pay for food and rent. And that's what it was my focus. My sole focus was to go to college, get out of the house, and be independent. That's all. Like, and then later on, if anything happened, it happened. So I didn't start doing sports and learning how to do sports until I was like 18, 19, you know, in college when I was just independent. I met my husband and he was really big into sports. So we were like trying volleyball, swimming, soccer. I got in like leagues. Now that I'm older, now I can do it because I have the money and my parents are not telling me, you got to work, you know, or I have to go to work. Like always, I've been working since I was 14, you know, so it's like, wow. You have to make ends meet, you know. And when I was in college, I could have saved all that money for my college tuition, but I'd rather, what did I do? I live with my parents. I pay for half of the rent, you know. And then when I moved out, that's when I started saving money for college. And my husband really was the one who like pushed me to get out of my comfort zone, because I was going to stay in San Diego and go to college in San Diego to keep helping my parents. But he's like, if you stay here, you're never going to be able to fulfill your dreams to your fullest. I'm telling you. And I was like, so what do we do? I was like, apply to all the schools, go to UCLA, check it out. Let's go to UC Berkeley and check the school out. And then we'll go from there. And then we went and I fell in love with UC Berkeley and fell in love with the Bay Area because it was so diverse. It was so different from where I was used to. And that helped me like really like to open my perspective about life and things. And when we were out there, it was like, we were super into like helping the community. We were volunteering. We were, you know, organizing. We were doing a bunch of stuff. So it was very fulfilling. So I never had time to think about sports and being an athlete until I was working and I wasn't in school anymore. I wasn't organizing. It was just like, this is boring, you know? So, yeah.
So it's almost like you needed to check off all those other boxes first before you could go, all right, you know what? That dream of wrestling hasn't died. I still can do this thing.
Yeah. And I mean, it wasn't even like the wrestling part. It was like, I could be like an athlete and I could do theater. I can act. I can like cut promos and be like, have a character. And I always liked theater when I was young. And I was like, oh my God. Because I wanted to be a soap opera star, you know, because you grow up with soap operas and you're like, oh, I could be like that. And
like the telenovelas?
Telenovelas. I can be rich. And like, you know, like that's stupid. And so everything, you know, encompassing like the wrestling, like you can do all that. So that's how I fell in love. And the fact that it was so challenging. Every day was so challenging, like physically, mentally, and spiritually. And that's why a lot of people don't make it, because they can't go through like some of the mental challenges and mental blocks, the sacrifices, the tears, the pain. The pain is the one that I still remember to this day, like not being able to move my neck and having to go to work and be on that computer and be like, my boss will call and I will have to move my whole entire body. But okay. And then go back, not sleeping, driving countless hours from Oakland to Mexicali, cross the border back to work because we have to go to work the next day. Like not a lot of people have that. And not a lot of people have the support system, you know?
So a big thank you to you for making this show possible by listening right now. And a big thank you to our sponsors. Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You had to keep moving. And that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time, and there's no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier. Like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month,
Indeed is going to get you the important hire that you need, just like they've done for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. So go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offered valid through September 30th. And oh man, the wait is finally over. Football is back, my friends. Now you may not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. BetOnline's going the extra mile to make sure that you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season-opening bonuses today and start wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Just head to BetOnline and take advantage of all of their great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word, BLUEWIRE. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
So how was it that you were able to, I mean, born and raised in Mexico, how were you able to get to America?
My dad applied for us for a green card when I was in sixth grade. So we waited 5 years before they gave us our green card.
Oh, you did the green card lottery.
Yes, we did. And we were lucky because like now they don't have those programs anymore. So they had that. And then all of a sudden they're like, you guys have to apply for this special visa. So I was in my, it was going to be my senior year in Mexico. And that's when I got my permit to study and work. And I have to move to the United States. So I left all my life, everything. And I moved into my aunt's house in small. It was one bedroom apartment, like efficiency apartment. And it was my two cousins, my aunt, my sister and I. And we used to sleep in like bunk beds. And then my other cousin used to sleep in the bed. And then my other aunt, she sleep in the living room. So we had no space, no nothing like this. I haven't even really talked about this, but it was my parents weren't with us either. So I was with my aunt.
So, and this is in San Diego?
This is in San Diego. So I was doing that for a year before I graduated in order for me to learn English and you know, get acquainted with American culture.
Well, so how did you learn English?
By force. My English was really, really bad between the ages of 17 and 20. And I was forced to learn English because my husband is white. He doesn't speak Spanish. So he would be like, you gotta speak English, baby girl, or otherwise, you know, it's going to be very hard for you to communicate. Cause I know you're very driven and you have big dreams and you have to be able to write and speak eloquently. Otherwise, you know, people are not going to take you serious, you know, and it was challenging because when I was in college, I was going to my college classes and in the evenings I was going to adult school to learn English, you know, so I was going to do things because I really do want to get better. And I went there for like a year and then I transferred to UC Berkeley. Now I almost failed my English classes because my English was terrible. Like I struggled so much writing papers and like doing presentations because people were like, what? You know, it's like, and you're competing with people that have been in this country for years or people that have gone to like private school. And then you're like this Mexican girl that just moved to America when you're 17 and you're still learning, you know? So it was, again, my life hasn't been easy. My life has always been challenging. I always faced challenges from the day I got out of the womb, you know, but it was like, it was again in my destiny to succeed on everything.
Well, I think this is what makes you so good in the ring because you're used to adversity. You're used to like these challenges. And I mean, the way that you wrestle, it kind of like, I feel like it has that kind of ingrained in it. Like it's very like gritty, like hard hitting style.
Yes. Yes, it is. It is because like I said, I always asked to be treated the same as a voice, you know, and that meant like ass whippings, you know, she's a girl. Make sure you're not too hard with her. It was like, oh no, Mel, oh, she can take it. Just go ham with her. And it was like that. It was, that was it. That's how I was brought up. You know, I was brought up like one of the guys and I will take it. And I worked even harder when I did my, when we did boot camp, cause we had 2 weeks of boot camp before we got in the ring. to make sure I'll run everybody. If there was pushups, I will make sure I will do more pushups than anybody, that I will finish everything first or second. And if I couldn't do something, I will try and try and try until I got it, you know, because some of the guys were really good and they were really athletic. I wasn't. It took me a little while to get certain stuff. And, you know, and now you see that it's just like, I personally, when I work with other women and they complain a lot about X, Y, and Z, I get pissed. I get pissed. I'm like, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. I'm 30 freaking 4 years old. And the last time that I cry about something, guess what I did? I went the next day and I trained twice as hard, because that's how you do it. That's it. You want respect in this business? You better earn it. And I'm not talking about, you know, just by, you know, being pretty and looking good. No, you got to work harder than anybody else. That's it. That is it. Get it in your head. You want time on TV? Work hard and perform. Get it in your head.
I love this. I love this mentality. So when you're growing up, which wrestlers did you idolize or you look up to?
Soap operas, baby. I watched soap operas. I didn't watch wrestling. I mean, it was there. Lucha Libre was there. Triple A and CMLL. I think the ones that I remember for sure were Mascarita Sagrada, because he was on TV. Conan, because Conan used to do movies.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Movies. He used to sing. He's in the soap operas. There's a couple ones from AAA that I watched, but I didn't really was involved in like the whole thing of Lucha Libre until I was 18, 19. It was one of the first time that I went to shows, and then I started going to like indie wrestling. For me, indie wrestling was it. I didn't really like WWE. It was never like, because it was too fake for me. I remember my cousin used to watch WWE when The Rock and Steve Austin were there, and like with John Cena used to wear the big clock, and I was like, what is this ridiculousness that you're like watching? And you're like, dude, you gotta watch. I was like, this is so stupid. I'm sorry, it's so stupid. And when I started watching it was around 2007, but it was TNA, and it was the Impact, the Knockout division.
Okay.
And I fell in love with it. It was like so dope. I was like, oh my God, these ladies can go. You know, yeah. It was like Kong, Sheila and Melissa was there as Aisha Saeed.
Gail Kim.
ODB was my favorite. Oh my God. I loved when she came and grabbed her tits. And it was when I was like, it's going to be me when I get older. Yeah. Like, oh man, it was like so dope. And Lisa Marie, you know,
and Victoria,
like yeah. I loved it. It was like, you know, these ladies know how to do it. Those are the ladies that I remember the most, because those are the matches that I watched. Mickie James too, she was there. So as you can see, I didn't watch your typical, you know, bras and panties matches. I didn't watch that until my friend, when I was wrestling, he's like, you need to sit down with me. We're going to watch these matches, and please promise me you're never ever going to look like this. And then we watched, it was, Mickie James. And what is the lady that she passed away recently? She was from, Playboy.
Ashley Massaro.
And I saw Mickie James working, man, to make this match look good. And he's like, you see this? Please don't do that. You know? And I was just like, wow. And I remember when they had Evolution, Mickie James was in a match, and I tweeted, Mickie James should be the MVP of this show, because I saw it. Like, people like Mickie James have made me like be a worker, because you got to be a worker. You need to make sure your opponent looks good, especially if they're like the favorite of the company, you know? Yeah. So it was like people like that. That's where I started looking up to, you know, that were workers.
So is Mickie James the dream match for you?
That's one of them. Yes.
Now who else? She's so good.
For now, Sarah Stock. Hopefully she doesn't retire and we can step in the ring. She's so good. She's so damn good. And I love seeing her wrestle. Who else? I don't know. I really don't have, maybe Deonna, because she's so technical. I think it'll be a lot of fun, because I don't get to do those matches as often.
Yeah.
She's a lot of fun. I think those are like the ones from now. I mean, I'm so far as like,
you've wrestled so many people, right?
Yeah. Yes, I have. Maybe have a one-on-one with Io Shirai. I never got the opportunity to do that in Japan. She was my trainer when I was in Japan. And she's hands down one of the best women wrestlers in the world currently. Like, she can work any style, and she's so good at selling, like telling a story, like even if she doesn't speak English, like people are like drawn to her. And I was just like mesmerized when I used to watch her. Oh, Miko Satamura. That's another one.
Well, look, that exact description is you. Like you can work any style. You can work with anybody. You can make anybody look good.
Thank you.
This is you. And I hope that you are aware of this.
Well, you know, I had great trainers. Like my trainers were very influential in my career, you know, and she was one of them. Like that's when my first year of wrestling, when I went to Japan and she took over the training and she forced us to get out of our comfort zone. And then she's crazy. She does a lot of stuff with ropes and stuff. And all of us is like, oh, we don't use ropes. Can we just like go back to America? No, you getting on the ropes. And it's like, she was very challenging and she was very open to it too. That's another thing I like about her. Cause it wasn't like, you know, I'm your senpai and you do whatever I tell you to do. No, she was like, what do you want to do? What move do you want to do? Like very like encouraging for creativity, you know? And she studied her opponents. And I remember her and Nia Yam had a match in LA and she already had her notebook and she already has a couple ideas that they both can do. And like, that will benefit both of them, you know? And it was like, it was really dope to see that because sometimes, a lot of times when I worked here, like I didn't get to do that. It was like, you do what I tell you and that's it because I'm your senpai, you know, I'm your veteran. And I'm just like, okay. So,
yeah. Well, so I think that that's an interesting thing. Like someone actually taking notes and going, oh man, I've been looking forward to this match with you. I think we can do this, 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 and this. That's so different than most people who go, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. Like when we, you know, 10 minutes before the match or something.
Yeah. I mean, that's another way to work. Like that's another way that I like, we call the finish and we just, you know, we feel the crowd and we just go and work. Cause that's another thing that I really do enjoy because that's when you really can, you know, work on the fly and be like, and create magic because you're really creating magic, you know? And that's very challenging, but I've done it before and it's really fun.
So let's talk about this All Out match with Shida, which was one of the best matches on the card. How did you feel about it?
It was so challenging because, you know, I have to come to AEW representing NWA, but I also have to be respectful where I'm working, you know? So, you know, I'm like, damn, it's like, this is not, you know, where's my agent? You know, I'm so used to having an agent. Like Trevor Murdoch was one of the people that really helped bring that Thunder Rosa you guys saw at Power. You know, it's like the vicious little bull. Like she's like, if anybody asks you, you tell them you're a 5'3" little monster because that's who you are. And I was like, that actually makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
So, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise, okay? Because that's who you are. So he's like, I'm on the phone, like he's pumping me up. It was like, okay, Trevor, okay, you know? So it was like, it was mentally like, you know, because it's such a big stage and there's so much in stake. Like there is no room for error. I feel like I'm like quoting the Eminem song, you know,
lose yourself.
Yeah. Lose yourself. It's exactly how I felt. Like there is no, like, you can't think too much and like effed up, like you have to just go there and kill it. So it was a really good experience because Shida was ready. She was ready to show something that she's never, ever showed before. In AEW, and she knew that we will be able to perform. Like she trusts me 100%. And I trust myself 100%. I have pretty good cardio, by the way. Just gonna put it out there, y'all.
You see it on your Instagram all the time.
Yeah, I mean, man, I have to go back to training tomorrow, MMA. I'm gonna die. I'm just gonna put it out there. I am going to die. I have not trained MMA in a month, and everybody's on fucking training camp. So this is gonna be intense. But thanks to MMA, I'm pretty good shape. But it was really good. Like she was really good. She was ready. I really had, you know, certain things that I really wanted to convey to the fans, and I wanted them to see like that you can do a lot with storytelling and not with a lot of spots, you know, although you feel like there was a lot going on. There was not like, let me jump from the third rope, give you a flip and, you know, boom. Like, no, it was like the greedy. I said, I do a lot of strikes, you know, and I want to make sure that I can show that in there, you know, yeah. Like that I'm quick, that I'm fast. And when I come, it's just like thunder, bam, it's coming, you know, it's just like that. And I was able to do that. And she was willing and open to like, do that. She wanted to have that match, you know, and you know, everything prior to it. And then when Matt Hardy got hurt and I saw him coming into the locker room, I was kind of scared. I was like, oh my God, like, you know, we have to follow something that was really, could have been really tragic. Yeah. And you still have to put a show. It was like, what am I going to do? But it was like, just, I can remember just waiting there and 10 seconds, 20 seconds, whatever, you know, showtime. And I'm just like, okay, it's ready to go all balls out. And man, it was such a magical, magical moment. Like, you have no clues, like culmination of, you know, the drama, the tears, the second guessing yourself, the what ifs. But once I was there and I turned around and I look at the cameras, it was like, it was gone. Like, those thoughts were gone. I was like, I know what I'm here for. And I remember when I was walking, this is a funny thing I was telling everybody, when I was walking around my room, I felt like I was going into a fight, you know, into my fight. Like, I felt exactly the same. It was like, you know, I was in the zone. Everybody's like, are you okay? Is everything okay? I'm like, I'm in the zone. Like, this is how it looks like when you're about to fight. You get in the zone, you know? And I just feel like that the whole entire time when I was in the ring. And then when I was in the ring, I was like enjoying it so much. I was like craving for the cameras. I'm like, where are the cameras? Cause I'm gonna make some crazy ass facials on this thing.
You have great facial.
Yes. And it was so much fun. There was one, actually somebody tagged me that I was doing some like edge facials. Yeah. And I didn't even notice. I was like, this is great. This is amazing. But I think, like I said, like I said it before, like we were going to create magic, and that's what we did.
Well, were there a lot of discussions going into this that if the NWA Women's Champion loses to the AEW Women's Champion, it devalues your belt in any sort of way?
No, it did not. It did not. I will dog dare anybody to get in the ring and do what we did there. You know, it just show anybody, like one of my friends, she just got her fight. She it was for the contender, and she's a champion for the LFA. She unfortunately lost. It didn't devalue that she's still a champion in the LFA, that she's still a fighter, that she's still going, she's going to go and get her dream. The same thing, just because I lost this one and I'm like, I was a champion, doesn't devalue anything. On the contrary, I think it just shows the caliber of talent and the caliber of an athlete that I am, and that I'm valuable with or without a championship on my belt. I mean, on my waist.
We're getting a promo here. Wow. Yeah.
It's that natural. Cause I'm talking to you. You know, Eddie Kingston talked to me a lot, so I'm talking from the heart. No, but it's the truth. It's the truth. It's like, you just have to, like, you know, pour your heart and your soul in what you do. And that's what I do every time I step in the ring. I don't care if there's 5 people in there. They're still going to get a good match. If there's like the whole world is watching, they're still going to get a good match. Why? Because I get there and I perform and I outperform anybody else. Because that's who Thunder Rosa is. Fight me.
I don't want to fight you. Jeez. So is this the last we've seen of you in AEW?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I can't say no. Yeah, we're having I have no clue. Like, this is the sad part. It's like, you get it this high. And I'm just like, it was next. No. Yeah. But I'm defending my championship. On my show on Mission Pro Wrestling against Lindsay Snow. And then I'm going to be participating in this prime time in LA with Dave Marquez. Yeah. So I'm still going to be doing stuff, you know, and then I have a match with Kimberly on Saturday. I never faced her before 1-on-1. So I'm like super excited. So, I mean, things are happening. And like I said, if AW can happen again, why not? I'm more than open to do it. I love working with the ladies. I love being part of the training. I love being able to like talk to those who are open, have open ears, and they're like, you know, observing like sponge, because I can share something that helped me become successful in the business, you know, and that's the passion that I have, that when I step, even when we're training, I train just as hard as when I wrestle, you know.
Your passion just oozes through. This is amazing. Everyone that's watching this or listening to this is super inspired now.
They better. Now that's the next thing. Maybe I should start doing like motivational speaking. Like that's another thing that I could do. I mean, like I said, like on Saturday after the match, and I was talking to Dustin. That was Saturday. No, that was like a couple of days before that. I went to the back and I was telling Dustin like how happy I was. And like after the match with Serena Deeb, I was just like, you don't understand how emotionally moved I am, because I come from nothing. Get this. I come from nothing. I come from Tijuana, Mexico. I'm the third of four girls that, you know, the world probably, or the perception will be like, I am going to be married at 16. By the time I'm 24 with four kids, because that's what, you know, a lot of my friends did, and not did anything for herself.
Yeah.
But it was like, now I'm in one of the biggest stages in the world, about to like show what women's wrestling is all about.
Yeah.
You know, this is, and I'm 34 years old, you know, it's never too late.
But there was a decision that you had to make early in your life where you were going to be selfish for yourself, and not in a bad way, but you were going to decide to start living for yourself and your wants and your dreams. And look at you now, because you made those decisions.
Well, we still have a lot more to go, but
yes,
but it's been, I had to separate myself from my family, and I love them, and I share these moments with them. We have a group on WhatsApp that we share like important things that are happening in our lives. And I send a screenshot of one of the fans sending a picture of me being on the stage and just telling them, thank you for being there for me. Because they have gone to a lot of my shows in San Diego just to support me. And like the funny thing is like wrestling keeps getting me together with my family. And last year, I want to share this one because, again, it's part of like the whole Thunder Rosa thing. I happened to be in San Diego when one of my favorite aunts was passing away. That was our last day in this earth. And if it wasn't because of that show, I would have never seen her again. You know, it's, wrestling has given me so much and keeps giving me so much that I just want to give back to like the girls that I work with in the community, when I go and volunteer, to my son, you know, to my husband, to my friends, because it's so important. Otherwise, it's just like, I'm just here and just getting all this and not giving back. And this is like, I have to share this happiness. I have to share the blessings that I get and I continue to get, because that's what's going to keep me motivated and moving forward.
This is like visceral. Like I feel like you have this like in your bones and in your blood, because it means so much to you.
It does. It does. It's like, it's, I mean, wrestling put me into MMA, wrestling, you know, allow me to travel all over the world. I have some of the coolest freaking friends in Japan and Mexico and you name it, in Europe, you know, like it's like wrestling is it's been such a good thing for me, for my family. You know, like, you know, I'm an independent contractor. I've been able to be an entrepreneur on my own. And like, I would never done that if, you know, I would have continued to be a social worker. Yes, I would have helped people, because that's what I always do. And that's what I always want to do. But is this in a bigger stage, in a bigger way that I can influence and inspire others to like follow their dreams?
So what's the synergy between pro wrestling and MMA? Because for a lot of people, they do not coexist together. For you, they go hand in hand.
The synergy for me, MMA, if I didn't have MMA in this COVID times, I don't think I would have been able to perform the way that I performed last time. It brings a lot more than just, you know, we're in a business of make-believe. Now I know how it feels to get punched. Now I know how it feels to bleed from an elbow. I would get hit. I had to like, you know, and just like, it gives you that grit and that toughness that otherwise you probably wouldn't have. But if it wasn't for pro wrestling and feeling those feelings when I first started, I don't think I would have been able to be like, hey, I'm ready for another fight. You know, it's just like every time I ask, why do you want to get punched in the face? It's like, it's not like I want to get punched in the face. You learn like, you know, to evade and like, you know.
Yeah, that's counter. Not the goal.
No, that's not the goal. But it's just like, it for me, it comes hand to hand, because it makes my movements in the ring make a lot more natural and a lot more crisper. And I feel like the last year and a half, that's what's happening because I've done so much jiu-jitsu, like kickboxing, Muay Thai, and all the other martial arts. And they just come together with wrestling now.
So are you hoping to have more MMA matches?
Well, I'm supposed to, but because of the COVID, everything got canceled. So next year, I'm not going to rush it because of my schedule, and wrestling is really heavy. And last time when I had my first fight, I can literally tell you it was very tough on training.
Sure.
Because I was like training, I was traveling a lot and I had to come back and training, and I was injured all the time because of wrestling.
So this is with Combates, is that right?
Combat Americas, yes.
Yeah. And Alberto Del Rio is involved with that, right?
He was before, yes. And Sexy Star is also one of the fighters.
Wow. So it's just so funny that like the world seems similar-ish, but at the same time, you're training for MMA vastly different from pro wrestling training.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. It's like the weight cut, the amount of hours that you have to train, the drills. It's another world, man. It's like you have to have the mentality that I'm not going to give up mentality when you're like on your last straw, on your last, you know, burst of energy. You just have to keep going when you're feeling like you have somebody on top of you and you're dying and you still have to fight to get out of that position. You know, it's just like, but it's great.
So you're basically saying when the world starts to get back to normal, whenever that happens to be, that's when you can start looking forward to another fight.
Absolutely. Yes. And I'm going to start looking for another fight and for a lot of sponsors too, you know.
Well, there's you have sponsors behind you there.
Well, this is for my first fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have like, those people.
Yes. You fight under your real name.
Yes. I fight under my real name. Yeah, I think you have to. Yeah. But
except for CM Punk.
Well, he got paid the good book of money for doing that. So.
You're like, Thunder Rosa would fight an MMA match for a lot of money.
Hell yeah. I think somebody, one of my friends, like, yeah, if they pay me $50,000 and I know I'm going to lose, I'm still going in, you know, I'm training, whatever. Well, $50,000, you know.
I don't believe you would ever go into a fight thinking you're going to lose.
Oh, no, you can't. Not now. No, I can't. Not at all. Now I'm not. You know, I'm like, I was, like I said, the first one, I was like, fuck. Like, what do I got myself into? You know, because it's like, you have to learn everything from scratch, you know? And now it's just like, okay, now I have to do the reps. Now I know how to do things.
Yeah.
Now I just have to do it, you know? So, yeah.
While we're showing things off, is Monica still there to show off your new t-shirt?
Can you please come too?
Oh, it's such a good shirt. I saw this before.
Hold on. Okay. Let me move.
There we go. A full shot. So everybody's just listening on the podcast. It's like, what am I looking at here?
So this one is from NWA. You guys can go to NWA.com and get it from there. This is exclusive in NWA. And we have a very limited, it's a very limited edition. And the other one that I have is this one, the same designer.
These are great.
And this one, you can find it on thunderosa.net.
Wow. Okay. These are great. And we did not plan to do like this, you know, Price is Right show and tell here, but thank you, Monica, for being the lovely model during this.
Yes.
No, those are great. You've got so many things going on. So, I mean, pro wrestling, MMA, then you've got your vlog on YouTube. I will link to your YouTube channel below. So anyone that's watching this can subscribe to you and watch your adventures on there too.
Yes. I haven't posted anything in a minute because I've been so busy, but you can watch all kinds of stuff there that we have. And they're fun. They're a lot of fun. We put a lot of effort in them. And also on my website. No, I don't have anything on my website. Just my merchandise and my dates and where I'm going to be at. And in missionprowrestling.net, which is a promotion that I own and I run. It's a all female run promotion. And we're having a first show that we almost sold out of all our tickets, believe it or not, here in Buda, Texas. And it's going to be live on September 18th. And we're going to be streaming it on TitleMatchNetwork.com.
This is, I mean, that's amazing that you put that together. So congratulations on that, especially in the weird world of like how live events are functioning right
yes,
now.
Yes. But, you know, everybody's getting tested. All the stuff is getting tested where, you know, practicing social distancing. The place that we're going to have it is Pinballs. And they're being like really, really supportive with us. So they already separate all the tables and we're putting people in groups. So if you come on your own, you're going to be on your own. We're not going to put you with anybody. But we just want to make sure that, you know, everybody has a good time and that they enjoy wrestling. They miss wrestling so much. And what better than bring the best of Texas and the best of the country here in Texas so they can see what we have.
This all makes sense now because a few months ago you put out a tweet and said, who's a great independent wrestling ring announcer? And I got tagged by a bunch of people. Now it all makes sense. You were looking for someone for your promotion.
Yes. And it's a female. Like commentators.
I would hope it's a female. Yeah.
Our commentators are females. Our ring announcer is a female. Our camera woman are females. Our photographers are females. Our merch ladies are females. Our ticket ladies are females. You know, our designers are females. So we're trying to like get to the next level. Once I get more organized a little bit, I want production to be females and like do something cool for like our website or YouTube. And, but that's like down the line, but everybody's been super supportive. We had so many sponsors and they already like want to sponsor our next show. We don't even have our first show yet, but it's been successful. Like I said, this is the first time that I've been running shows for about 4 years now, that I pretty much sold out of tickets. before the show started. So, and it's COVID time. That's the thing. It's COVID. But that again, that tells so much of the work that my husband and I and my team, we've all been doing for the last years, that they believe in what we do and they know we put good products on.
Well, it also speaks to the fact that this doesn't really exist right now. And I think that you've found this opening in the industry that someone hasn't filled yet.
Yes. And we're like the first in like the history of wrestling, you know. Our booker is a female, you know, and it's very weird to find that. So it's Robin Reed is helping us with booking. So we're having a lot of fun on the process. Sometimes it's growing pains, but you know, you have to go to grow pains to get good stuff. So, but I'm really positive. I'm not even stressed out. I usually get really stressed out during shows and I'm like a total bitch. And my husband is like, you better treat the ladies right. Okay. You can't be in a bad mood. And I'm just like, okay. You know? So yeah. So we're going to have fun.
But it seems like everything and anything that you do, you put all of yourself into it, which is exactly why it pays off. And it's been so successful and you've been so successful.
Yes. 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 I mean, there's a lot of sacrifice and stuff, but the thing is like, I run so many shows and I help run so many shows, but this is the first time that I actually took on a lot of the responsibility. Cause usually it was like my husband doing it and I'll just do the other stuff. But now it's like most of it. And then we just like help him pass with just publicizing and everything, all the PR, he's helping us with PR. But other than that, it's just like a lot of the logistics has been a lot of the females doing it, which is cool though.
Well, I look forward to seeing some of those matches. I imagine you'll have them up online after the event.
Yes, yes. And we actually have Swole. She's going to be in our show.
Look at this.
Swole is against La Rosa Negra. I'm really looking forward to that. And she's really looking forward to that. And then we have Red Velvet too. And she's been pretty active in AEW. So she's going to face one of our ladies, our local ladies here in Texas. So
this is like the best time possible for you to be not just a women's wrestler, but a champion in women's wrestling. Yeah. I don't just mean the belt, but just you are championing women's wrestling.
Yes. And I think we should continue to do that. I think more women in the business should come out and take a risk and do stuff, not only for yourself, but for others. Like, because once you leave and you don't leave anything, like your name is gone. Yeah. You might be like, oh yeah, she was a champion here, but it's more than that, you know? And I'm blessed that I've been able to like make history this year in many different companies, with Tokyo Joshi Pro Wrestling being the first foreigner to like have a championship. And I still have it because I haven't not been able to go to Japan with COVID. Then now with the first female born wrestler in NWA from Mexico to win the NWA championship, you know, and now to be the first NWA female wrestler champion to go to another company and, you know, have a championship like this.
Amazing.
Match. Yeah. So it's pretty cool, man. My name's going to be there. So I'm cool.
I guess it's pretty cool. It's all right.
There's a lot more to accomplish and achieve. And I know that the challenges will continue to come and there will be opportunities to make the brand bigger and better.
With you know, you just have this great mindset. You have this amazing drive to go after everything that you want. Is there a certain phrase or something that drives you that you go back to and, you know, you remember that?
Yes. When we first started, I will always say that I'm unstoppable. Hashtag unstoppable. We used to use that one. And like my friends that they were with me from the beginning, they always hashtag me on everything, hashtag unstoppable. That's who I am. And this year is like, I will become undeniable. That's it. Like there's no turning back. People are going to know my name because they're going to see why. And like what happened on Saturday, that just made it undeniably like, she's Thunder Rosa, you know?
Well, I'm very excited to see where this leads and what a great conversation. Wow. Thank you so much for this.
See, I'm easy to like have interviews with, right?
Well, nobody's doubting that. No, not at all.
Yeah. So.
So thank you. I'm so excited to see what the rest of 2020 has in store for you. Congratulations on your company, on your indie show. Best of luck with that. And
thank you.
I can't wait to see what 2021, 22 and so on holds for Thunder Rosa.
Well, it's going to be good stuff. And like I said, if it's not in a big company or whatever, we will still make a difference in whatever we are. Like for me, it's not about only the money. Yeah, it is nice to have money and be rich, right? And be stable. But it's more than that. Like I said, wrestling continues to give me so much, and that's what I want. I want to be able to like take my son to Japan, and maybe he can see me in Japan wrestling. Go to Mexico City and wrestle in El Consejo, and not for money, just because I want to do it. You know, and that's the best part, is when you do things because you want to do it, and because you want to make sure people see that and they're like, yeah, she's good, and she does it because she knows what she's doing.
Thank you so much. This was great.
No, thank you.
So there you go. How fantastic was that? And now we know so much more about Thunder Rosa than we did an hour ago. What an amazing story she has. And what a great storyteller she is. Snap a screenshot, tag us on social media. Let us know that you're listening. Share this out to the world. I'm at Chris Van Vliet. She is at ThunderRosa22. And I said it during the interview, but her passion just oozes through in everything that she does. I mean, how can you not love her? And only 6 years into her career, man, she's really just getting started. Now, this isn't exactly a quote. We usually end these episodes with quotes, but I saw this on Instagram. I screenshotted it because I liked it so much. And I wanted to share it with you because I think that you'll just love this. You'll watch an entire Netflix series, even when the first episodes are slow, just because someone told you it gets better. But what if you looked at your goals like that and watched your life get better instead? That's powerful. That's good stuff. Make sure you're subscribed to our next guest on the show. What a week we've had. Stipe Miocic, Thunder Rosa. The next guest is David Arquette, and we go deep. All kinds of insight in this one. So enjoy your week. Be great. Be grateful. We'll see you on Thursday.